allows to describe going through the different elements of the sugya. So now we're going to try to put everything together for those who are chazing with him or chazing by himself. Whatever it is, let's try to build the big picture. We'll review what we did yesterday, but then try to graph everything out, chart everything out, and hopefully it will hang together in a very clear way. Maybe even add a drop more to one more element to what we discussed yesterday. We don't have to go in exactly the same order during yesterday, because now that you've seen everything, we'll try to review in a slightly different format. We start with two Gemaras. So the Gemara getting the Gemara Balavata. The Gemara and other Gemaras
indicate that what? You get the Bachusa Dina
period. Our Gemara seems to say
first mandama says Dina Machusa Dina, but the second mandama seems to say no Dina Machusa Dina.
Right? Because the Gemara says what's Pshat, what's going on with the story of Tos. So they said, well, either it's based on Dina Machusa Dina, or if they give, or the Hanan is not true. Not true means Dina Machusa Dina is not working. So what does that mean? So the understanding, the major question is to understand the second mandama.
We'll come back to the first mandama.
But the major question is, what is the old? What do you mean, why aren't you applying Dimos with the Dino? Right? So there were three positions.
One extreme was to say, he said, no, Dino is not with the Dino. Exactly. He argues it's wrong. Shmuel says,
there's a principle of Dina Machusa Dina, and he says no. That was the terrace number one, the Rashba.
Terrace Alpha, the Rashba.
There is no such thing as Dina Machusa Dina. That's what sounds like. That seems to be the position of the Gaonim. And then the other extreme,
the second terrace in the Rashba, is no Machlokas at all, and it's just different cases.
Meaning, of course, Dina Machusa Dina is a true principle, but it's only going to help you understand how Shtari HaKos works if there is a law on the books about Shtari HaKos. So how are you going to explain the Mishnah if, in fact, there was no such law on the books? Then you have to say the Mishnah didn't mean it. Right? But there's no machlokas lahalacha whatsoever. It's just discussed in different cases. Like saying, my brother keeps one day a yantar. I keep 2 days a yantar. Machlokas? No. My brother doesn't have to sell. I live in America. Right? The same halacha, we all agree to the same halacha principle, just we are dealing with different situations. Right? So that's the tariff number two. That's why we saw in the rush. And that seems to be the approach of the predominant view of Rishonim. The Gaonim seem to say, yes, the machlokes, no sorry, machlokes, you know. And then you have the other person, no machlokes. Then the Rashi says,
Seems to be
tariff number three, or if you like, it's catching up this approach, the middle approach. There is a machloka. So again, one of Golden said this second sheet does not have the Mishnah at all. So they sound like they're saying. The second test says, no, they totally hold them all the same. Halacha is just, it's only that case where it's just not relevant. And then the third approach, the Yesh Dokhin, there is a machlokas,
the mixa.
There is a machlokas, but not min akasa or akasa. It's not absolutely, yes, I'll do machlokas the dino or no. It's a question of how much do you machlokas the dino do you hold them. And this second sheet is going to hold of a, not no do you machlokas the dino, but limited do you machlokas the dino, and does not apply. Meaning what?
It does apply to taxes, to Bava Kama, but not to, right, not to Shtari HaKos. It does not apply to Gittin.
And obviously the first day holds, it does apply, right? The first day, is that clear? Right? The first day, as the Gemara says, all Gemara is based on Dima Fusadina. Obviously the first Gemara holds Dima Fusadina, holds it, applies in this case. Okay. The second day, either doesn't hold it at all, or this answer holds a limited variety, not enough to cover this case, or the way the Rosh said, this is a case where there was no such din to begin with. Question. What if the other thing down the middle? If you want to, you can say this is not a third terrorist. It could be that they're just reinterpreting what the Gaonim were saying. It's definitely a possibility. They didn't mean no, this is at all. It's been, okay. And again, this is to deal with this Kira. The wise over here, it seems like it's a done deal with Huyam, and here it's a Machoy. Okay. Then, the Raja goes a fourth end. Because Rabbeinu Arab, my Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. What was the first thing? What was the first thing that Rabbeinu Yonah said? What was the first thing that he said?
Yeah. That Maestro, if you hold that inheritance, then you couldn't be using nothing that Maestro. Normally we think of the Lachlan Fina Matat, so Maestro is just because the best in value is the star. Because they're called the value of the star doesn't mean that you're forced to be Lachlan Fina Matat. They're not declaring that you must be Lachlan Fina Matat. They're saying you have the right to be Lachlan Fina Matat.
Right.
That might not be.
Oh, good. The first thing Rabbeinu Yonah says is to talk some more about the second sheet in the Gemara. And he sounds like he's giving, I think you could call it Teretz Dalet, it's more or less Teretz Beis. He's saying, I'm not sure where to put him. that part we're not focusing on as much, we'll put it in parentheses. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, right. The reason why Dima Fusadina doesn't apply here is because we're talking about a case where there's no law that you there's no verdict you must pay the money. There's no law that you must recognize the star. The court, they stamp that we think this star is a good star. We know that these facts are true. Okay, but I don't have to accept that it's a valid star, can you? No legal requirement. No legislation, no court verdict. Just they made a comment, they editorialized about this stuff. Okay, so that's not binding. Then he gets, what's interesting is then he turns his attention to Shita number one. He says, how about, let's just bring this over here to give ourselves a little more room. Right. How about the first mandama? He holds Zima Chusadi, do say Zima Chusadina. See here, so we thought that was pretty easy, right? The Gemara comes to Zima Chusadina, so at least the first sheet in our Gemara, also the Zima Chusadina, that doesn't need any explanation. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, I have something to say about that. And what he says is, the Rabbeinu Yonah comment, that only even if you say Zima Kutadina only takes away from the seller, but cannot give to the buyer. That's what he says. You should just realize, it's hard to even know what's something is. So you should just realize that if you're holding a Kutadina, that just means that they're Mafkia from the first guy. So he can't back out. It doesn't belong to you, but I can no longer take it back for me. I can't say I changed my mind because I already lost it. Zima Kutadina took away from me but didn't give it to you. He said, that's it. If you don't hold Zima Kutadina, understand. If you hold it, you hold it. So why should it be limited? The Devar Ram explained, this bizarre seeming of Rabbeinu Yonah, he must hold that Zima Kutadina comes from Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. And he says, we know that Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, what do we know Hefker, Bezen, Hefker? We know that there's a Machlokes Achorim, and perhaps based on the Rashba, that Gemara and Gitlam and Vav, so this is the Gemara and Gitlam and Vav, and maybe even Machlokes Amoraim,
whether Hefker, the concept min haTorah of Hefker bezin Hefker, that was a machlokes, is it rock min haTorah, is it rock or hafkir? Or gam lahakir l'shasheni? Because they all said, is this Hefker bezin Hefker, they can just take away, like the first box of the Torah seems to indicate, is the right to take away from you? Or do they even have the power to make it his? And we explained yesterday, as Shefka's Hezber, why would you say it's split and have power? No. Because I, myself, as the owner of my own property, I have the power of Lahafkir, but not Lahafkir's Lahairim. I can't just make it yours because I want it to be yours, you have to actually do a Kenyan. I mean, I could make it Hezber just by saying so. So the one approach is going to say, if you take the minimal approach, that Hefker is just Lahafkir, that's saying that you could just function like the Bible itself. Okay. You say they also have the right min haTorah Lahafkir Lashayim, the Hash Lahafkir Lashayim, the more maximal approach, the more robust approach. That's saying, no, they're more than Bible, they're like, they're in charge of ownership. What was the nature, either you have Psukim and Gittin Lamed Vav, you have Psukim later in the Masechta, to be Machash's concept of Hefker ben Hefker. Not just a Sra, it's Sukkim.
How does Hefker's principle work that hard to only for the minimum approach? I mean, the principle says that I have to pay you back. It's not for my money, it means I have to pay you back. Right? How does Hefker's principle
work? Everyone agrees Hefker ben Hefker works for Hakkos Lachaylo, for the question is that the right to the Rabban. But then you maybe the other way out of it also, because they just machad you to...
No, but it's only that.
So there are these two approaches. There's a possibility that the Hefker Bez Hefker is only Meikar Adin, only Lahafkir, so that would fit to a Bein Yonah thing. Apparently Bein Yonah holds the minimal approach. So he holds Hefker Bez Hefker is only Lahafkir, and Hefker Bez Hefker is the same as Dina de Machlus for Dina. But they guess they won't. What do you mean Hefker only for Dina? Bezin, Machlus, what was one for the other? Rabbis have power to be Machlus. What does that have to do with the king? The Dvaravram says, well, at least it seems to be at least some who understand the Zatosis in the Sanhedrin and Rabbeinu Yonah himself in the Sanhedrin, who seems to say that Zimachus, the Hefker ben Hefker, has to do with Sarara, has to do with governmental authority, being in charge. It's not the Pshat, that's what they say. That again, the Rotosis and Reynolds and Edgen seem to say that it's not that the rabbis, because they're poskim, they have the power of the Nefker. Because whoever's in charge, Rish Galusa, the Rish Galusa was the exilarch. The Rish Galusa did something else. Rish Galusa was the head of the Gola, the head of the Jewish community, by the way. He's clear from the ground often not even such, at least people associated with him were often not even so orthodox. But he was the political leader of the Jewish community. So that's the way that we've shown in Tosim and Yonatan today. Hefker and Hefker invested more in the Reish Galusa than the rabbis for the Hedrin in Eretz Yisrael. Because, as you see, Hefker and Hefker is not a function of being a big time Chacham or Paschim and Shilas, it's a function of being in charge. So then you understand how you make the jump. You say, when the Gemara, here's the critical point, when the Gemara getting at Sukkim to establish the notion of what we call Hefker Bez and Hefker, it's not really establishing a notion about Bezin. It's establishing a notion that Hefker, Srara, Hefker. Whoever is in charge has the power of Hefker.
Now, in some cases it's the Beis Din, in other cases it's the Melech. But whoever is in charge, there's a Sukkim and the Ezra Makadesh. Well, it may already be a Din Daraisa, but not recorded in Tarshish Asaf until David Ezra, that the Torah was Makadesh idea that whoever is in charge has the power of Hefker. We understand why, because there'll be times when, in order to maintain law and order, to keep things moving smoothly, you're going to need to be able to impose such penalties. So Maisa is a notion of Hefker. Beis Din is an example. Hefker of whoever is in charge is Hefker. Hefker of whoever has the Sarah is Hefker. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah said. Now let's just take a question over. Let's just take a step
not
back.
Not a question to say.
Yeah.
The problem with the Gemara by Prisbul that there's only like three Bezins in Bavel that were allowed to like write a Prisbul because they were all in the Gemara. Right.
Right.
So let us just take a step back before we do a little more. Let's take a step back and see what happens. We had a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Gemara in Bava Kamma said, Dilah Hutta Dina on taxation without any, no questions asked. Then we had the Gemara getting, for what we'll call, rulemaking. Rulemaking. And only, not to impose taxes, just to make other rules. Rules of how to do a kingdom shtar and so on and so on. So the Gemara seems to present, a distinction between the two. So some show that there's no distinction. And ever hold Dima Chutadina, right? That was the approach of Rosh, Teres Amasur. But the other major approach Rosh was presenting, to take a Teres Alf and Gimel, is basically that there is a difference. That taxes don't require as much to tax is a lot easier to explain than the power to make other rules. And that was the explanation when we talk about the second Manda Amar in our Gemara, the second Lashon, which the Raj was focusing on. He's the one who says there's no Dima Chuzin in our Gemara. And he's the one who's explaining the split. Right? He's the one who's splitting. He's saying, Gittin, there's no Dima Chuzin. Not above a common there is. It's a discussion, the second Manda Amar, and a discussion of the minimal approach to Dima Chuzin. Saying that maybe it applies in Bava Kamma, but it doesn't apply here. Right. So that and so the Raja seems to be the easier say isn't the machlokes, although there is, and he's retaking a minimalist approach. And why is only that the major understanding that it's only lahanaas hamelech? That's the criteria. When does it apply only to lahanaas hamelech, like taxes? And then the explanation or the basis is probably going to be the Ran, right? The Ran and the Rush. So this is the second part of our discussion. This is the other mandala. The one who says in the argument also Dima Chuzadina. They're not just taxes are based on Dima Chuzadina. Other sorts of rulemaking is other also Dima Chuzadina. So what does he hold? That's where it gets interesting. So if you can take a bigger approach to Dima Chuzadina, which is probably how we pass it, that everything is all covered by Dima Chuzadina, so then how do you understand it? That's what gets interesting. How do you understand Dima Chuzadina in a way that will explain more than just taxes? It will explain the power to make rules. So explanation number one is the Rabbeinu Yonah of the big approach to Mokhutin Yonah. The expansive view of Dina to Mokhutin Dina. That's Mandava number one. Mandava number two, the Rajah was focusing on, is a limited view. So So how are you going to explain that as a more expansive view? The one approach is to say, like Rabbi Yona, that the psukim of Hesker, Bez, and Hesker are really teaching you a principle about government. And whoever's in charge is given by the Zerah the power of Hesker. You can make rules, whatever rules the moments you want to make, based on Hesker, Bez, and Hesker. Possibility number two, and possibility number three. Possibility number two, we spoke about yesterday, was the Rosh Hashanah.
Try to keep our color scheme somewhat consistent.
The Rosh Bab, Baba Basta, all the Marvel Kamas, all the exact Marvel Kamas are on the sheet. The Rosh Bab seems to say something somewhat democratic. You know why the king has the right to Tadim of Lusadina? Because everyone accepted him. Right? Correct? Right. Exactly. Locke lived in the 1600s, and the Rosh Bab lived in the 1100s.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's assuming that in reasonable monarchs are enjoy a certain degree of public consent. And then you have Rashi. The third approach is Rashi. Again, there are three approaches to the first mandama, not just the mandama of the Gemara. Three approaches to how to understand a broader application of Milchus Hadina. Either it's based on Hesker, Bez, and Hesker, or it's based on public consent. Or Rashi, who adopted, mentioned Zinim. Mitzvah Zinim, who did they know? So that's fascinating. Now, so what's there to say about that? So number one, you have to know. Right now, please hold it. Someone you have to know. So there's a machloket, Rambam, and Ramban. Famous machloket, Rambam, Ramban. What exactly is the mitzvah of dinim? If I was asked you 2 days ago, what's the mitzvah of dinim? If I don't tell me, it means to enforce the other things. That's usually what you learn growing up. That's the Rambam, right? Rambam says there's six mitzvahs. And then Dina means to enforce the other six. That's the Rambam, right? Why is he discussing, why is Rambam talking about this? Because the question is, what's going on in Shem? How do they have the right to kill all the Jews, all the non-Jews in Shem? So Rambam says, Dina. What do you mean, Dina? They didn't enforce. He was raping this girl, and they didn't enforce it. So he violated Gedol. He was raping this girl. He was stealing her from herself, right? He was taking her without her own permission. That's Gedol. And all the other people of Shem, they violated him because they were not enforcing the one of the other six. That's the Rambam's approach. And Ramban says, well, what are you talking about? It's enforcing, that's not a mitzvah. I mean, it's important, but it sounds like he was a new mitzvah. He said, what's the mitzvah? He said, something more than that. Ramban says, no, Dina means to have develop a whole legal system, to have rules for Shomrim, to have rules. To have rules for Mazik, well, you have to have court, well, you have to have contract, well, you have to have a legal system. You can't just have random stuff. There has to be a system in place. The mitzvah of dinim is to actually have dinim, to develop dinim, to develop law, to develop a legal system. And he says, you're asking me why they kill people in Shem, why they kill Misra. Now, find a whole other approach. You know, not going to go into this thing now, but he has a much larger approach to the whole story. And so that one particular question, he says, they were Chayim Misra anyway. That's not the problem. They're all of the Bodhazara, and there are probably a lot of other crimes on them, a lot of Shukh of Dhamma, and Gila, a lot of Gila town. But they may have all been technically in violation of some mitzvah or another. The question is going to be the Machokas, Yaakov and his sons, was okay, but did it make sense to make use of that technicality to respond to this particular crime? They can be used, but the fact of Chayim Misa wasn't because of this incident of Dina and stuff. So what emerges is the Machokas, Rambam, Rambam. What's the mitzvah dinim? The mitzvah dinim just enforcement, Rambam says. Or it's a new mitzvah, the mitzvah have a legal system. Now what's Rashi holding? Which one is Rashi accepting?
Legal system.
Huh? Legal system, right? If it's just enforcement, the 100, right? So not, so he will presumably hold that Ramban. Within the Ramban, I'll tell you that there are Achronim who have this wild shot in Ramban. Ramban uses a lot of halachic when he gives you a sense of what the legal system should encompass. He uses a lot of Gemara terminology. So there are Achronim who let you believe that in Ramban you have to follow all the halachas of Kosher Mishnah, you have to follow all of our halachas. It's very hard to name. Every explanation of Jesus, every Shulman of Moshe Feinstein is relevant to, it's very hard to name.
the pasha is not like pasha. It means you have to develop a system that will have its own rules for nezikin, its own rules for shomer, not our rules for shomer, but some reasonable set of assumptions for shomer. You want to show the chiyuv time of zayin aveda, fine, whatever. You look at details. We have to deal with the basic case. So if you take that approach, this is what's probably the easier approach to Ramban. If you develop a new legal system, then you can Rashi well. And because Rashi is saying, if you have to have a legal system, obviously it's fine. The halacha recognizes the non-Jewish legal system. Then they have a chiyuv to make one. So then it's mustaber, and that's where the leap probably comes in. One leap is, well, behind all it's applicable to Jews. Maybe not apply to them. So you mustaber have to say, yeah, well, once you know the halacha recognizes its substance. It's not just because they said so. You know the halacha, the Jewish halacha recognizes, the Torah recognizes that there is substance, halachic substance to the non-Jewish legal system. So then apparently it's not that the Shmuel says, mustaber, if it's halachically meaningful, if I'm living in that country, okay, that's one problem. There's another problem though, which is an even bigger problem with Rashi, which is according to Rashi. Rashi says, ah, Mr. Zinu, which is great, okay, he's not Zinu Makassi. Rashbam did democracy in Kazi, name of Tazi. I mean, he always comes to home, Fakir, Hesker, and Hesker. Zinu, we heard of. That's Hesker, Zinu. There's one little problem. It's a great mucker, but mucker has to be a source, like a character has to answer the kasha. The mucker has to give rise to the thing it's supposed to be a source for. Does Zinu explain? Is it a sufficient explanation? Does it cover all the cases of Zimah Kutadina? What did Zimah Kutadina do? What is the result? What? Did the government's ability do? Pass. And make laws, like so. Okay. So, do we understand based on Zimah that they can probably get a rule about Shtarah? It's not right, that's the rule to do that. Do you understand taxation?
Yeah.
Do you understand taxation?
Yeah.
No.
Not much, right? Because they can make rules, like, if I want to buy, you want to sell, how am I going to do it? But if they make rules that belong to me, they have to have to have the right to take away. If you're going to say democracy, maybe. You say Zenith, but it's explaining the rule making, it's not explaining the most basic part, which is taxation. The one thing everyone agrees to, taxation. How does Dinim explain taxation?
They use the money to keep order.
Okay, so you could say, that'd be part of the rules. Okay, that'll
be part of the rules. It's very simple. I mean, if you have a government, they have to have a certain amount of funds to run efficiently, to enforce the laws. You need a police force. You need money. You're going to have to tax people. Once you can tax people for a police force, you can tax people for the fire department, and so on. It's very mistaken.
Maskin, but keep in mind, Zimah Kutadina taxation is not just to cover public needs. But the king has the right to take money for himself. To enrich, within reason, to enrich himself,
right.
That's Zimah Kutadina. I agree. Sarkhay Hamadina is fine.
Because if you agree with Rashi that they can make up their own laws, and if part of being fair and just is to enrich the kingdom, then part of being fair and just is to enrich the kingdom. Therefore, the idea of the kingdom, you have taxes. So you have taxes. That's where the tax law.
Probably two approaches to taxation. One is to say, like this is the thing, and that this is also part of the rules, and like you said, and like Mike was beginning to say. It's also part of the rules, and then part of the rules are to support the government, and even to support enriching the government. Alternatively, what you could throw out, and we'll close with this, is it could be Rashi was saying, when did Rashi say demon? I'm not sure which part is right. It could be the cover of it. Alternatively, when did Rashi say this? only by Sarah.
Yeah.
It could be Rashi would say, who says you have to have, maybe there are two different things that are supposed to be the Dina. There's the right to pass, which maybe that's based on the name for that, he used to run. He owned the land, that's very nice. That only explains temptation. That's on the left side of the board. And then, but Rashi says, if you hold of something more, it could be even if you hold of a larger view, it's not just more the same, there's two dinim. There's one that's in the Chazal Din about Kama to pass. That's based on the Ram. That's based on Ha'ar Shalom. So, pay rent. Or, and then the roommate can be paid for another thing. That's Dinim. It could be a whole lot, it's conceivable, the whole lot of law. But to bring it all together, maybe. Maybe. The Rush is taking it in there. Maybe. There are certain things we paskin difficult to be applied to many areas. Some of them understood that everyone holds their applied to here. Some of them understood enough. There's a machlok and shavaran. There's only applies to the small package. There's also applies to the bigger package. Mm-hmm. The small package is taxes. And I would add, we didn't talk about this, but small package also include. We mentioned it briefly, coining money. Mm-hmm. The government has a chakra in Hilchos Rivets. And you see that from Gemara once in a while. Gemara also talks about pitzalatu malchus. If the kingdom hostels this type of coin, that this coin should no longer be used as legal tender, then that kind of halakhic validity. Now, I want to recognize the monetary system. For example, for example, my society has to live there with Keta. We recognize the monetary system. And we recognize monetary system means the governmentally sponsored monetary. That's how you always have in every society, just like every society, when you have real Keta, not just barter, it has to be powered by the government. So that everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees the government.
Less than metal is significant in itself.
Right, but whenever you have something more than just intrinsic value of barter, whenever you have more than just barter.
In other words, the coins are worth more than the silver that was in them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. If the coins are worth the silver that they're made out of, then
there's
no barter.
There's worth the money, there's the coin.
Yeah.
Worth the money to mint, the waste of money, to mint money, says it's giving raw gold and silver. So everyone agrees that the government can tax. Can coin money. And then the chokas becomes, how about rulemaking beyond that? Rulemaking beyond that, that already might be halacha might we accept it. Halacha might we accept it. But that's based on one of three approaches. Either, like Rashi says here, a lot earlier, there's a mitzvah, a whole mitzvah of dinim employment. Or, like Rashi Bob's in the Prince of the Craft acceptance. Or, like Yoda said, it's based on an interesting view of Hesper and Hesper. And let's just close this chazara. Before it goes to Hasanish here, they ask someone for a favor to go to Rabbi Shulman's, Rabbi Shulman's, there's a stack of all the windows, so there's a stack of just to bring everything together, halakha leiter. I never realized this until he once said it. I really talked about that a lot, and then realized that he once said that he makes sure, consciously, to talk about. The fact we're not the team of tax police once a year, I think I might mention this year,
yeah.
Because there's a guy who said that no one ever told him. Not from our yeshiva, but still. So, we learned this with you, this is the note, there are probably four reasons to pay your income tax in America. One is the Pasha Zimah Hosadina. If you take the round approach and you say it's hard to not shalom, maybe you'll reject it. Fine. But the Pasha is, you don't need the round approach, many other Rishon, many other approaches, Zimah Hosadina. That's number one. Number two is that in the modern democracy, it's being used for dark, the bulk, if not all, certainly the bulk of the money collected is being used for what's been determined to be Tarka Ir Tarka Medina. So you can do that just to see what to pay. Number three, once that was required to pay, so then by your not paying, the tax fraud costs me money. Because if no one would change their taxes, my taxes would be less. So it's when they sit down to make a budget, when they sit down to decide taxes, they take into account the fact that a lot of people are going to cheat, and therefore they only expect to add epsilon. So they know that. And that's why sometimes one of the things the government will do to try to close the shortfall is to try to be more aggressive and go after people, either with amnesty or prosecution, to go after investigation, to go after tax fraud, because that's the way of making more money. Because they recognize there's a very significant chunk of money. Because God is Mamish, God often does as well. You see from all the Jewish and non-Jewish taxpayers. And number four, which is maybe a Hamash of a Kulam, perhaps, is not to put that in. Otherwise, the Mamish gets them, and it's called Hashem. And in the Horaos, that's definitely true. So we have to catch a Jew who's accused of Zachwara Kol Jina taxes. So if you care to spend or waste your time checking the blogosphere afterwards with the reverberation, there are people who are paid to do that. The ADL, that's the job, is to track anti-Semitism. And they say report after report. That's when people, they catch Jews being dishonest. So it plays into all the classic anti-Semitic hangers. And Semitism mounts to Kulach Nefesh. It mounts to Kulach Nefesh. Thank you so much. Okay. So, one to two customers. One person to customers. So that's loads of other customers. Four reasons. Say that. Come. Speaking of anti-Semitism, let's talk about that.
Can you share
with me
now about why you don't have to? What's the connection?
Ah.
You're going to have other side.